It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Have you seen the trailers for the Man from U.N.C.L.E. movie?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know a whole lot of... I mean, I know what the Man from U.N.C.L.E. is, basically.
Yeah.
You know, as a pop culture reference and what it... You know, it's a story about the United States and the Soviet Union finding a reason to cooperate,
yeah,
et cetera, et cetera. But I don't think I know enough about it to say, wow, that's really great or that's really cool. I mean, it seems like Cavill, right?
Yeah.
Is doing a reasonably good job. Reasonably
I thought you were saying
job.
Cavill's doing Cavill. I'm like, yeah, no, that's pretty accurate, too.
But, I mean, he's doing an American accent, right?
Yeah.
A little bit different than he does when he plays Clark Kent.
Mm.
And it sounds okay. I mean, you know, I don't know. From what I have seen, it looks like his performance is going to be interesting, but I don't know if it's based on anything or
if it's
accurate to something. I don't know anything
about
it.
Here's the thing. I am excited. I think it looks really cool. I'm kind of excited to see it.
Were you a fan of...
No.
Oh.
And I think that's critical. Because... I don't know what they're going to get right or wrong.
Well, why are you excited about it?
Because it just looks like a cool, like, spy movie.
Yeah, the previews
and basically,
well put together.
It looks like classic era James Bond without James Bond. And really, that's what I've always wanted.
Because
James Bond's just a dick. Like, I don't like the character of James Bond, but, like, spy stuff, the 60s.
60s spy stuff.
And I'm like, this is that. Without fucking James Bond. So, you know, it's like why people like Google Plus.
I don't understand
it's
what you just said.
It's an XKCD thing. One time they're like, just go to Google Plus. What is it? They said Google Plus. It's like Facebook. I said, well, what is it? It's not Facebook. And he's like, I guess that's what I always wanted. This movie, it looks like James Bond.
But
you know what it's not? James Bond.
Is Google That's Plus on the outs? Is that what I heard?
I mean, like, six people are on it.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they're going to kill it because of that. They may just let y'all hang out on your island.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, Google's had a lot of projects
they do,
in the past.
They do tend to cut the heads
not,
off of
Yeah, did
shit
not catch on
fast.
And they let it go.
Buzz, Wave.
Oh, yeah.
Fnork. I mean, I don't even... One of those may not be real.
One of those may not be real.
That's the thing. They just started naming things after, like, Batman sound effects. New Google Splat, you know? New Google Kapow. New Google Kapow. That sounds like a world music album out of the late 80s. Mm. Yeah, I know. I felt like that joke was funnier, and then it just super didn't land. And I mean, with me even, like, out loud, that joke was not as good.
Oh, wow.
But I do feel like new Google Kapow as a phrase is at the heart of some really good bit. I just don't know what that bit is.
Maybe.
Might be the title of this episode. Hello, and welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast, the only podcast out there in the world that is being dangerously overfished and at a real risk of losing some of its precious sea life if we don't find a more renewable form of podcast.
Sustainable podcasting is hard.
Jesus Christ, it is. That is the truest sentence you have ever said. Sustainable podcasting is really hard.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of other things.
People say pimping ain't easy, but yeah, try a fucking podcast. Yeah.
A lot of people say certain sustainable practices are hard, and they're not really. They just don't want to do it. But this is actually hard to do a sustainable podcast. Yeah,
like, Trish has left me, like, 6 times. Like, technically, yeah. I'm married to the same woman, but it's, like, the 7th marriage.
And our carbon footprint is, like, 6 Earths. Oh, and it doesn't matter what we do.
You guys don't even see the smokestack we have on the porch doing that. And it's not like the nuclear ones where it's just water vapor. No, this is, like, straight up burned cats and dogs just into the air.
Yeah, because you just need that. I mean, it's cost prohibitive for us to use anything other than coal.
Your voice doesn't sound right when it's recorded unless you're burning a lot of dogs and
cats.
Yeah,
it's
sound engineering. It's complicated, but if I upgraded my mixer, we could probably cut back a little bit. But those are expensive.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. Plus, have you ever seen the places that the mines where they get the mixer materials? They're an environmental disaster. So technically, our footprint would go up to buy a new mixer.
That is true. That is true. Yes, it's like the people who run the old cars into the ground because, like, what it costs to make a Prius.
Yeah. It's just like that with mixers.
We're just doing the still has the hand crank.
I didn't really want our listeners to know this because, I mean, we might have some really diehard, you know, environmentalist listeners.
I feel like we do.
Probably do.
But no, this is how it works. This is how we get popular because then they get all their friends to hate listen. I feel like we have, and this is, I mean, for you, this is probably great. For me, I feel like a failure. I feel like we have a real dearth of hate listeners. Guys, if you know somebody out there who listens just to say, like, those guys suck, tell me about it. Because I want to know.
That'll make you feel better. Absolutely.
Yeah. Go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com, and do that. For everyone else, by the way, what episode is this?
Oh, well, you have to introduce yourself.
I said I was Tony, didn't I?
No, you didn't.
Well, I am Tony.
And I'm William. And this is episode 230, the 230th dirty greenhouse gas producing episode.
And for reasons that are way too complicated to explain, we have to keep burning dogs and cats through the week in between
you don't really want to know.
To charge things, and also because it would be weird to stop at this point.
We did have a person come and, you know, you kind of, you know, sneak their cell phone camera on to watch us doing this. So the only reason we're even admitting it, because it's been out there.
We want to get ahead of the story.
Yeah. It's going to go viral.
Yes. But we are up to code.
Yeah. Everything's legal.
The government's just shitty.
Yeah. Everything's legal.
We're totally allowed to do this. Even we're surprised.
And Kraft Dinner knew about it the whole time. So when they say they didn't, they're lying.
I feel like that's going to come back to bite us. For those of you who are just joining us, why have you not left? We have a hat. It's magical. It has its own email address. TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com. People. Good people.
People who don't seem to hate us.
People who don't seem to hate us. But maybe they do. That might explain some of the questions.
Maybe.
Write in to that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, little comments, questions, topics, things like that. The hat, all on its own, magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. Seriously.
Environmentally irresponsible.
Environmentally irresponsible servants draw those note cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them until we're bored, do that for about an hour. That's the show. And we just did a show.
Yeah.
A week ago.
Yeah.
But also for us, like, 10 minutes ago.
Yep, we had to do doubles because of me.
We haven't got a lot going on otherwise. August is going to be nice, actually. Not really going anyplace. Just went to Virginia,
mm-hmm.
And now the end of August, beginning of September, I'm going to go to Oregon. But in between here...
Well, I hope you go into the fair.
Johnson County, or the, no, you're going to state the fair. State. Johnson County was this week. Is this week.
Yeah.
Or last week for your people in the sound waves.
The reason we made two episodes is because by the time people listen to this, I should have had surgery yesterday.
I didn't know you were going to talk about this. So.
Well, I wasn't going to, but for some reason I feel like maybe it's a good idea if I do, because, I don't know, it might be of interest to some people. I mean, I never know when to talk about things like this, because I, as you know, I personally am not inclined to talk about certain things.
Yeah.
But what I've found throughout my life is that when I don't talk about certain things, it can hurt some people's feelings.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
And I think I understand logically why that is, but it doesn't occur to me. Like if someone says to me, well, what if this were happening to me and I didn't tell you, wouldn't that hurt your feelings? My answer is, well, no. I mean, if you want to tell me, I'd want to know, but... You know, if you don't feel like talking about it, that's your business, you know.
Okay, that, because, of course, that's my thing. So, yeah, so if I'm in this situation, and I know your situation because we've talked about it, and I didn't tell you, you wouldn't feel...
No, I wouldn't. I would regret that I didn't know, but, I mean, it wouldn't hurt my feelings in the sense of, like, you didn't trust me with it, or...
Well, see, I think that's the thing. I think there's an implication to a lot of people that clearly we're not close enough.
Yeah.
Because I mean, you did tell me, and I'm not surprised, because in the grand scheme of thing, I think I'm in your top three closest friends.
Sure,
probably.
Sure, sure.
So that makes sense. But I thought that before you told me. And if it turned out you hadn't told me, it's you. Okay, if a normal person had turned out had not told me, and I thought that we were really close friends, I would have been like, maybe we're not as close of friends as
well,
I thought.
Well, but I told you because I knew that's what
but in a reverse situation, you would not have... You would not have insinuated anything about our relationship from me not telling
you. No, I would have probably assumed that there were a ton of other perfectly legitimate... I don't even have to know what the reasons are. The reason of we're not as close as I thought, or he doesn't trust me or whatever, would be like way, way at the bottom. Okay.
Because that's the thing. It's not necessarily, when people get hurt, it's not necessarily that you should have told me, you asshole. Or, but it's a, huh, I guess we're not as close
as I
thought.
Yeah, there is. Kind of a, yeah, I get that. I understand. I get that logically, right? And I understand that.
Or you get that line of reasoning.
Yeah, and I understand that even on my list of logical explanations, that's on there. I just don't put it anywhere near the top.
Yeah, yeah.
And since it's nowhere near the top, I just don't take it personally.
Yeah. Yeah.
And actually, another thing is, if you didn't tell me something, and I wouldn't assume that was why. But then if you said, and since I know you're not going to assume what the reason is, I'll tell you what the reason is. It's because we're not really close enough.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be like, oh, okay. I mean, if I thought I was closer to you or respected you or would tell you things and that was asymmetrical somehow, that wouldn't bother me.
That wouldn't hurt your feelings?
No. Because how I feel about you isn't really based in any way on how you feel about me.
Really?
Yeah.
See, because to me, that's, I mean, it's not dependent necessarily, but like, I value you as a person.
Yeah, well, I know that.
But I also value our friendship.
Oh, yeah.
And our friendship is very specifically, it is a two-way definition.
Yeah, I agree.
And so if it turns out you don't feel as strongly or as close to me as I thought you did, that changes into me, as somebody who likes you, a negative way, our relationship.
Yeah.
Our friendship is not as cool as I thought it was.
Oh, well, yeah.
It's not as close as I thought it was.
Yes, that's true. I mean, if you were to say something like that to me, I would be surprised. And I'd think, oh, well, then I guess, like you just said, our friendship isn't what I thought it was.
Yeah.
And again, it wouldn't change
how
I...
It's not like, you're an asshole, but I would feel sad.
Yeah.
I'd be like, damn, I thought I was a really close friend of his. It makes me sad that I am not.
I would probably feel a little sad, I guess. Yeah. But I mean, it wouldn't change how I feel about you.
No. As a person. Although, well, but we're talking in a vacuum here, because if you do that to me, I don't feel like you're the kind of person who would do that.
Yeah.
If you did that, I'm like...
It's academic, yeah.
Well, because you're not necessarily the person I thought you were, and therefore my feelings might change.
So it's not... But, we're not a really good example.
No, but... and it's also weird for you because privacy holds a very different
creature
for you than for a lot of people.
Yeah, where I come from, it's really not unusual for people not to talk about, like, all kinds of things. And nobody, I shouldn't say nobody takes it personally. It's rare for people to take it personally because there's just so many cultural things going on that have nothing to do with your personal feelings for another person or whatever.
It's more about whether or not you're Jewish.
So anyway, and I'm sure we're frustrating people talking about all of this without me saying what the leprosy.
Problem is. Leprosy.
No. When this airs, I will have had surgery the previous day.
Actually, I do want a disclaimer. We're going to use some terms and some labels here that make it sound really freaky, because that's how it sounded to me originally. Now that I know all the stories, it's not nearly as scary or freaky as it will sound initially.
Did it freak you out at first?
Two particular key words kind of made me lose my shit a little bit. By the time I finished that first email, it was fine. But go ahead. I'll point it out when you hit it.
Well, I'll just say what the surgery is.
All right, there we go.
It's going to be Wednesday, August 5th. So again, when you're hearing this, it'll be which would have been the previous day. It's what they call an angiogram. They are going to use a catheter that they're going to insert into my upper leg area and run it through my body, through my neck, up into my brain.
Which I find weird.
Yeah.
Why do you start that far down?
I don't know. Up into my brain to see if I have a brain aneurysm. And the reason they're even suspecting this is because I had an appointment with my general practitioner. I complained of headaches and a few other symptoms. He asked me if any of my family had ever had a brain aneurysm, and I said that my mother had. So he insisted that I go have an MRA, which is just a specialized kind of MRI that specifically highlights your vascular system in wherever. Okay. In this case, in
does
my
it still make ridiculous noises that sound like it's breaking at every second?
Yeah. So, I've actually seen the images because I had to take a CD with the images from one hospital to another because my GP belongs to the Mercy Hospital complex or whatever here.
We have two hospitals in town.
And then there's the University Hospital, which is a teaching research hospital. And I have to go there for my surgery, so I have to take things between the hospitals. Yeah. So I looked at this CD, and you can see when you look at the images, the 3D image of my vascular brain, if you will, that there's a little bright spot where there might be a very small aneurysm. Might be.
Or a new idea for a novel.
It could be other things, too. So they're going to do the angiogram. And by the way, this is so small, and it might not even be an aneurysm, but they are not thinking that this has anything to do with my headaches.
No.
I just have migraines is what they're saying. It nothing to do with anything. But because my mom, and actually it's so small and so insignificant that they wouldn't even normally do anything about it.
Except your family history.
Yes, except the family history. So they're going to do the angiogram. And if they find out it's just not an aneurysm or anything, well, then that's it. I'm done. And I'm, they consider me healthy and everything. And incidentally, I've had all kinds of physicals and I've seen a cardiologist in the last few weeks. I'm otherwise really, really healthy. Just this one thing. So anyhow, if it is an aneurysm, however, they're going to put a stent in a little titanium alloy thing. It looks like a small Chinese finger trap thing. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do. That's a hilarious way to describe it.
That's exactly what it looks like. And what they do is they put it in the artery, vein, whatever, and it makes the blood bypass that little bump.
Yeah.
And then that shrinks.
And it's firmer, so then you can't squeeze the thing shut.
That's right. And so then the aneurysm over time goes away.
I know stents from a heart valve situations.
And I'm kind of hoping, obviously, that they don't find anything. Because
it'd be nice to not stick shit in your brain.
Yeah, if they put this thing in there, then I'm going to have to take something to thin my blood for the rest of my life or else have a stroke, and I don't want to have to do that. But, whatever has to be done.
See, and this is the thing. But by the way, the two key words are brain aneurysm. because for me, and maybe the listeners are like me, and I did some research after you sent this to me. I've only heard the term brain aneurysm in a context involving suddenly, without warning, had a brain aneurysm and died 2 minutes later.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And in my mind, and I confused, I have conflated in a lot of ways, aneurysm, embolism, that kind of stuff. And so to me, an aneurysm is something that just happens spontaneously with little to no warning, and then you're just dead. And so I'm really confused that you're sending me an email about, yeah, this is like, look, I got brain aneurysm. I'm like, this is ghost email? What is going on here? And I look it up, and an aneurysm is essentially a swelling of a blood vessel.
Yeah, like a herniated vessel
or
something.
Yeah, and so you run the risk of it cutting off the blood flow.
Or rupturing.
Yes.
So you get a hemorrhage of, you know, yeah.
And it is not unheard of. In fact, frequently, I think, a lot of these, that's when you find it, is because that happened, that's and then right. they're dead.
Yeah.
And especially right. if it's in your fucking brain.
Yeah, yeah.
Then that's the thing. So, but that is the true definition. And so what we're talking about is something that's just a little, and like in no immediate danger of anything.
Nope.
And potentially nothing.
Yeah, potentially nothing.
But so everybody should understand, like, it's freaky because of the word aneurysm. And yes, they're going into his fucking brain.
Yeah, brain surgery.
But it's really not. In fact, we almost didn't do a second episode. Because it's going to be the day after your surgery, and all indications are you should be totally fine to go.
But we
were just like, why are we fucking with it? Let's just be.
Well, cool. And another thing is, I won't know when the surgery is going to be until the day before. I could, you know, my surgery could go, I could go in pretty late in the day on Wednesday, and be there overnight and just not really feel very good, you know, for the rest of the day.
And I just wanted to put in a buffer too, because. And you're you, and that's fine, and it's not a big deal, but they're going in your fucking brain. At some point, this could hit you emotionally, sort of randomly and spontaneously in a way that you really don't feel like fucking recording a podcast at the time.
Yeah.
And so, again, it's like, it's not a big deal. As much as this thing is not a big deal, it's a slightly bigger deal than having to record an extra podcast this week. So,
well, and
you know...
And
there we go. And for the record, I also totally left it up to William.
Well, and William said, yeah, let's just do it. There are a few things that are weird about it, though. I mean, I'm not concerned about, like, dying or anything like that. I am concerned about, I've never had surgery before. I'm concerned about,
but it's like
anesthesia.
It's going to be local. You're going to be awake, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm going to be awake.
Trust me, as somebody who's had both versions, that's big. That's good.
Well, like, that's but I'm also worried about, you know, after the thing, I have to be stationary and on my back for like 6 hours.
Yeah.
And I can't do that. I mean, I just had a sleep study that proves I cannot do that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm worried about that. And I talked to some, actually just today, the pre-op stuff, you know, talking to the anesthesiologist and stuff. And so my mind's put at ease a little bit about some of that stuff. But also, I mean, you know, I'm a very private person. I'm a very, you know, hospitals, you know, gowns and
teaching hospitals.
Yeah, and you know, not walking around and not wearing anything but a gown and being on a table with a whole bunch of people standing around watching things happen. That's not going to make me very comfortable, obviously.
You're not going to have a good time.
No,
it's
create a lot of anxiety.
Nerve-wracking, annoying, tedious, embarrassing.
For like...
Not scary.
For like 10 hours.
Yeah.
Well, not scary, just really, really uncomfortable.
Yeah, no, and I mean, I'm, again, sort of just trying to put listeners at ease. And don't get me wrong, I'm probably not going to get a lot of work done during the hours when I know you're in there.
Oh, wow.
That's how it is, and I mean...
But I mean...
But I know... It's not really a thing.
No, it's.
But it's anytime somebody goes, my damn mother-in-law goes in for toe surgery, and I was a little nervous, and all the, not that she was gonna die, but you know, it's still surgery.
Yeah.
It's just stuff, and this one is in your fucking brain, which, to be fair, not your best asset.
No,
I'm gonna say your hat collection, maybe, but
probably really,
actually
really.
T-shirt collection. But and you know, it still matters.
Well, and another thing is...
A mind is a terrible thing to waste,
another thing
I've heard.
So I'm feeling some... And, of course, being mildly agoraphobic, I am feeling some anxiety, like social anxiety about
it.
And in anticipation. But another thing that's weird, it doesn't scare me, but it just sort of bends my brain a little bit, is no pun intended. Yeah. Is the odds that something will go wrong are about 1 in 50. Now, because of my health and because of all kinds of other things, I'm probably even better off than that. That's an average, you know. But it makes me think about things like, you know, I'll bet skydiving, the odds are lower that something's going to go wrong. And I would never do that.
Yeah.
There's just a whole ton of things where the odds of something going wrong are a lot better than 1 in 50. And I would never do those things. But I'm going to go do this. So it's like, that just feels weird.
Well, and that's always hilarious. Again, reminds me of XKCD. There's one where they're like outside and it's raining or whatever. And there's lightning. And like, we should be inside. And the guy's like, no. It's fine. The odds of getting struck by lightning while you're out and da-da-da-da are like 1 in 8 billion da-da-da-da. And then the caption says, odds of getting struck by light, of people who know that statistic being struck by lightning goes up to 1 in 6.
Of course. But the thing about that is, the thing about being running around, that's a good example. So here you are outside, and the odds of getting struck by lightning are astronomically high. But the problem is, if it does happen, the odds of surviving it are almost nothing.
Exactly.
So that's why you
and
stay.
It's weighing the thing. It's like, yeah. Well, how bad of a hardship is it for you not to go outside till the storm's
done? And the doctors, in a way, agree, because if it weren't for my family history, they would agree, well, you don't want to, you know, 1 in 50 chance, you don't want to just have the procedure. You want to watch it. But because of my family history, they don't really know what the odds are, but obviously they're bigger that something bad's going to happen. So, but again, you know, if you look at these...
Those are still really good odds.
Yeah, they're really good odds. And if you look at them closer, not as just an average of everybody, and you take out people of a certain age, you take out people with certain health problems, you take out people like, I've never smoked, I've never drank alcohol, there's a lot of things I've never done that probably give me a little bit of an edge over people who do these things regularly. So, I mean, my odds are probably really, really good.
And rather than calm you, probably just freaks you out for the rest of your life. The odds of some shit going wrong when you drive around in that car are probably way higher.
That's probably true.
Way more likely to fuck
so,
yourself. And the fact that you don't smoke really doesn't help that at
all. No. So I'm not worried at all. I mean, I'm not freaked out, and I don't want anyone else to be, because there's no reason to be. But, you know, I do feel some anxiety about it. I also feel anxiety about the whole notion of, well, if they find this thing, I'm going to have to take medication for the rest of my life. Because right now, it's kind of nice. I go to the doctor, what medication should you take? I don't take any medication. You know, which I'm 46 years old, and there's a lot of people my age that take medication.
I'm 38. I frequently have to pause so I can keep track of all the things I take.
But now it's like, I have to take this.
Generally speaking, I let them read the list to me, and I'm like, yep.
Now, to be fair, after I'm going to take a blood thinner and aspirin after the surgery for like 3 months, and then after that, just baby aspirin.
Yeah, because you're a big baby.
That's not much of a list of medications. What are you taking medications? Yeah, just baby aspirin because of
why you like the taste?
Because of the stent in my brain. That's
every day. I just shove a baby aspirin in my ear. And hope it gets to the right spot. I don't know how medicine works. Nobody told me to do that. I just started doing it.
But, I mean...
No, and honestly, it would be really fucked up if you weren't feeling anxiety. Regardless.
Yeah.
If I was in your situation, I would be feeling anxiety. And I walk around bare-assed all the time.
Well,
and I take more drugs than a horse. Which is weird, because horses aren't known for being big drug addicts, but still...
But I talked to the doctors today, and I felt a little better. But you know,
they giggle a lot.
Well, we joked.
I feel like that's a red flag.
We joked around about a lot of things.
No, just like holding a scalpel and chuckling maniacally.
Nothing like that.
All right.
But I mean, like,
were their eyes the same size?
You know, I told
not between doctors in a single doctor. Were their two eyes the same?
I told
size?
My family, and I told you and a few other really close friends. And there are other people who listen who I consider close friends of mine who I didn't say anything to because I wasn't sure if that would be weird.
He doesn't like you guys.
You know I love all of our listeners. Yes. So.
He mostly tells me because he has to, because he knows I will beat him with a stick if I find out something like this.
That's mostly the people I told are mostly like that, where people, I know this person will be upset if I if I don't tell them, even if I don't understand why, yeah. they'd be upset.
And in general, William tells me stuff partially because we're good friends, but also because we do a podcast together. So frequently when some serious shit happens, he tells me, so then we can be like, do we want to talk about this? What'll that mean?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so, I mean, there's business reasons.
Yeah, yeah.
Also.
But I would tell you anyway.
I appreciate that. I'm trying to defuse anybody who's like, why the fuck did you tell Tony? And I'm just saying, it doesn't mean he likes me better. It means that we've got a podcast to run, and sustainable podcasting is hard.
Yeah. But, so.
On your brain, apparently.
So that's the, so that's the thing. It's not anything.
It's going to be fine.
Yeah. I'll be podcasting a week from now, and it'll be like nothing happened. So, not to worry.
Yeah.
I'm not worried.
We'll be good.
I'm anxious for all the reasons I just said.
Yeah,
but
it's not going to be super fun.
No.
But it'll be fine.
But there it is. That's why we had to do.
That's why he's not going to see Ant-Man. I think this weekend, which for y'all is last weekend, we're going to go see Trainwreck, the Amy Schumer one.
Oh, okay.
Because I like her. I'm on a big kick of her right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've talked about this on here.
I know, but I thought you were on a kick and then got getting lukewarm, heading toward the lukewarm.
No. I'm good. It hasn't come up recently. Oh, okay. I haven't seen her show recently and stuff like that. I haven't been consuming a lot of Amy Schumer stuff right now. Although, Hannibal Buress has a show now, which we've only seen the first episode of. And we love him. We're going to keep watching. The show wasn't like great, but we like him. She guested on it. He had this thing of, like, some troll online who kept giving him shit, and so he actually tracked down the person, and it turned out to be her. And so that was kind of fun. But yeah, so we're probably going to see that. I mean, I was nervous. It's a romantic comedy kind of thing, but it's her, and it's Bill Hader. And I'm like, that sounds fun. So we'll see what happens there. So let's hat this mother.
Let's do it. Yeah, I'm not really going to be doing anything else in the week except trying not to think about it and then going in and hoping goes really fast. So
when you have a concussion, at least in certain circumstances, you're not supposed to go to sleep. That's bad.
Yeah.
And you're certain concussion things, you're basically not supposed to think about shit.
Really?
Yeah, because it's a swelling in your brain, and so they basically don't want your brain doing things. Mm. And it's fucked up, because basically, you can't even, like, read and watch TV and stuff like that. And generally speaking, they have you sort of doped up so that you won't. And for some people, it can go for, like, days or whatever. I'm like, that would suck.
Yeah.
Like, just, okay, now don't think for the next few days. And frequently, they just, dope you up so you mostly sleep.
Well, see, that's another thing is... One of the things I was concerned about with lying on my back for 10 hours, perhaps, was my back starts to hurt.
Oh, yeah, and this is
one of the reasons why I turn over at night in my sleep all the time.
No, and I get that, too. Well, and a lot of people do for that length of time.
They said, oh, we'll just give you some narcotics and you'll be fine.
Which they absolutely will.
And, of course, I've never had narcotics in my life, so that might be interesting.
Hopefully you'll just sleep.
That's what, I hope so.
And actually, since you've never had narcotics in your life, that's likely.
That's really good. They talked when I mentioned my concerns, of course, the first thing that comes to mind is, well, why don't we just do a general, right? Do a general anesthetic that's going to keep you out for 10 hours. Yeah. So you'll be sleeping through the whole procedure. You'll sleep through the whole recovery and everything will be fine. And we don't have to worry about your restless leg syndrome or whatever.
Yeah.
But my congenital heart problem makes that not a very good idea.
And just in general. Doing general is not good when you can avoid it, because
so
there's always a chance of
death. So they tried to reassure me that the stuff they're going to do to me should mitigate most of those problems, and if they don't and I say they're not, then there's other things they can do, like giving me the narcotics or whatever, that will probably take care
of. And you'll be drugged up just from locals and stuff, but in general, that stuff's going to make you sleepy.
Man, I would just love to sleep through the whole thing. That would be so awesome.
Well, advice I will give you, I don't think you're going to use it, but for somebody who really would like to sleep through it, I think this is good advice. When you're in there, when you're actually in the hospital and all that, it seems like it takes some effort for them not to give you drugs. Like, you have to really push back if you want them to not give you drugs. But it's also really easy for them. Like, I was popping Percocet like it was going out of style when I was there for my surgery and stuff. And I was just lying in the bed. I'm like, eh, it hurts a little bit. It's a little mild hurt. Okay, here to have two Percocet. It's been 4 hours. And I'm me, so I'm like, fuck yeah, give me well, two Percocet. Is,
but, you know,
so you can get enough that you'll be out cold. But
the reason I can't move for 6 hours is because I have a wound, right?
Yeah.
And immediately, if they put in a stent, I'm going to have to be taking blood thinners. So it's going to take a long time for this wound to get to a place
true.
Where I can walk around yeah. safely. That's yeah. And I can't, I have to lay, I can't shift, I can't bend, because then I have to start the whole 6 hour thing all over again.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's going to be a real, yeah. I should stop talking about it because I don't want to think about it.
All right, what'd you pull?
Beth.
No, I'm Tony.
No, this Beth here.
Oh, Beth is on the card. Okay. Yeah. Hi, Beth. I've named the card Beth.
What needs to have been done recently for a house to be considered clean?
What needs to have been done recently for a house to be considered clean?
Well, it depends by whom.
By us, I guess.
Well, by us.
What is our definition of a clean house?
Basically? Oh, gosh. I mean, my standard for a clean house is pretty low compared to other people's, I've noticed. Tony's gesturing to his house, but you don't think of your house as clean.
No, I definitely do not.
Okay, what I'm saying is, if I were to go through my house and quote unquote clean it,
yes,
and think, oh, this looks pretty good, my wife would say, no, this is not.
And that's a thing.
This is not good at all, because this, and I know what she means when she says this. I get it. Oh yeah, okay, that should be dusted, or this should be put in the closet, or whatever. Yeah. But for me personally, it's like, yeah, I can live with this. I can have someone over with it looking like this.
And well, see, that's the thing. It's like, where's the bar for clean? I'm like, is that it? Is that people? Because we used to, when we had Guy's Feast here, the trick was the kitchen and this room and the hallway and the bathroom had to be clean. That was it. Y'all weren't allowed in any of the rest of the house. You're not allowed in any of the rest of the house now.
Yeah.
You are one of four adults who aren't us who are allowed in this house, and you're restricted to this room. But yeah, so we used to have that. But yeah, so for a house to be clean, I feel like...
Yeah, like if for a realtor?
Well, like clutter for me is a big one.
Yeah.
Shit needs to be picked up and put away.
Yeah.
And then I think then the other two things come up, the kitchen and the bathroom. Because those are the places that in my mind get like spills and stains and stuff.
Yeah.
So they need to have been like, I guess, scrubbed.
Yeah, gone over really well.
Yeah, not necessarily the floor.
Well, as long as there's no spots on it anyway.
Yeah, I don't know why, but not necessarily the floor. See, this is the questions I like. I'm like, I don't have an answer for this, so I'm just like, I'm forming it like right now. I'm realizing, like, I wouldn't have told you a minute ago. You know, but I'm like, no, the floor doesn't necessarily have to be clean. If the rest, but like the counters and everything, and the dishes should be
clean. And put away.
There's a lot of just out of sight kind of stuff, which is frequently how I clean. Like, pick a room that you don't want clean, and I can clean all the rest of the rooms. But I do it by putting all that shit in that one room.
Yeah.
That has been a common tactic for me over the years.
I think for most, you know, like I said, I always think of a realtor, what a realtor would want your house to look like when it's being shown. And I think...
Then that to me isn't clean. That's fucking Spartan.
Well, I don't know. I mean, no clutter. Like you said, everything's put away. Everything is where it belongs. No, you know, well dusted. Like if someone looks at your mantelpiece, there's no dust on the mantle or on anything on the mantle.
Nothing should smell unless it's artificial cookies that you've sprayed into the air.
You know, the carpet looks like it's been vacuumed, or there's nothing obviously on it that was left behind by not being vacuumed.
That is the thing. For clean to me, I think a carpet needs to have been vacuumed, but a tile or like hard floor doesn't necessarily have to be swept and or mopped. I don't know what that is.
Well, unless there's like dust bunnies or spots on it.
To a degree, but for some reason, I'm okay with more of that. But for some reason, the carpet has to be vacuumed. I don't know what that is about.
The bathroom and kitchen need to be spotless. Like, you you know, even though people can't see germs, you might as well go ahead and disinfect as much as you can, because somehow when they walk in, they'll smell the cleaner or whatever.
Yeah, that is totally awesome.
Yeah.
If they can still smell the, like, bleach you used, that's good. Then they know it's clean.
Yeah, right, yeah, there. Yeah.
And there is a thing. Because dirty
bathrooms and dirty kitchens freak people out. So.
And they are somehow your definition of personal hygiene.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Even, like, you could have, like, dog poop on the... I mean, it wouldn't be good. But, like, you could have all sorts of messy things going on in the family room or the living room. But it doesn't say the same as if it's the kitchen or the bathroom.
That's right. That's exactly right.
That's where things involving our orifices happen. So
now, if you're going to have
windows, fuck the windows.
If you're going to have company over, it really depends on, you know, the company.
Well, and that's always the thing. What would they consider?
Yeah,
clean?
Yeah. And you need to consider that.
And that always drives me crazy because people are like, oh, our house is so dirty. I'm like, your house is cleaner than my house has been since I have lived in it.
Well, and
which is 10 years.
A lot of people will say that about a house that, to my view, is cluttered.
Yeah.
And to me, dirt is one thing.
Yeah.
Filth is one thing. But clutter and even a little layer of dust on things, it's just like, no, I don't expect people to dust all the time. And if you just have things lying around, so what? I mean, it's probably because I grew up in the country. All the people I visited lived in these small farmhouses full of their stuff.
Yeah.
Knickknacks, I mean, everything. They couldn't, even if they dusted, I don't know, once a week, there was going to be a layer of dust on everything because it's out in the country.
Yeah.
And they just have a lot of stuff. So there's going to be a lot of clutter and there's going to be a lot of dust on things. So what the standard of clean out in the country is, there's not, like you said, cat poop or something on the carpet or something. You know what I'm saying? And the kitchen and the bathroom are clean and it smells like there's been some cleaning done or dusting or whatever. So it's just, you can't really have a higher standard of clean out in the country than that.
For a lot of people, I notice this for relatives and things, it seems to tie into their parents a lot. They're like, oh, I don't really worry about clean, but if my mom's coming. But I've seen it go for multiple generations. So my mom says, I don't care. But then when her mom would visit, she would clean like I'd never seen her clean before.
Mm.
But my mom's chill about that. Well, now my sister, she doesn't care. But when my mom is visiting, she and I'm like, I know my mom. I know our mom. She's not. It's fine. She's like, no, but I just want like everybody, for some reason with their parents. I feel like that's a like sign that you they were right to let you leave home.
Well,
see, I can function. Because, yeah, people come here and they're like, we need to lock you up. But and that's what really pisses me off. People who have seen my house and I go to their house and they complain about it being messy. That's like when people come to, and they say, oh, I'm so fat. And, you know, everybody does. And you're like, you're not fat. But I'm like, especially in my case, I'm like, you know for a fact that you weigh half as much as me. So if you're calling yourself fat, what are you saying about me?
Yeah, that's right.
And you can't be like, well, it's for different people. No, seriously. You may think it's not any of your business, but in your head, you're like, he's really fat. You may not judge about it. You may not think as poorly of me as you think of yourself for what you perceive as your own fat.
Sure, sure.
But you totally think of it. Now, to be fair, I'm fat. So it doesn't bother me as much now. And also people are a little bit smarter about it nowadays. But I was always just like, come on. I'm like, you've seen my house. So if you're saying this is super messy and you know what my house is, then you're saying my house is like ultra mega messy or something.
Well, so the point is it's kind of relative.
It's entirely relative.
There's probably a point past which the vast
nothing
majority
will ever grow again.
Well, the vast majority of people will agree. Yeah, that's a messy house.
And that would be my house.
But outside of that extreme case, it's relative and probably the place where it's most difficult to deal with the question is when you live with someone and your definitions of that term
absolutely
differ at all, much less considerably.
And that's the funny
thing. There needs
thing,
to be some kind of negotiation.
You know, our house is a mess. That would, you know, pants-shittingly so to some people out there. But it's so much better than either of our places that we lived when we were on our own. There was this weird thing, and we have this with a few things, that when somebody else is dependent on it, suddenly we try harder. Mm. I could keep my apartment a shithole and not care, because it's just me I'm screwing with. But suddenly my wife totally could keep her apartment a shithole, but now I'm here. And so we have this weird sort of interdependent guilt or something. So it's way better than it was. But I also felt bad because with mine, I would keep it a shithole, but then every like year or two, I'd be like, okay, whole fucking place. And I would make it spotless. Just the one time, every couple years. But it was still something, and so I miss that. But yeah.
Well, yeah, it can be a real problem, like roommates or spouses. I mean, you know, well, I have this standard, and you have this standard.
Well, and the classic answer is the whoever is a no, like whoever finds the toilet disgusting first cleans it. But the problem is if you have one clean freak,
yeah,
then they just have to do every goddamn thing. They're doing
the cleaning all the time. We talked about this once when someone asked about how often do you clean a bathroom. Yep, we had this very same conversation. So some kind of middle ground needs to be found because, I mean, some people...
If there's enough of a
gap. Yeah, exactly. Some people, their philosophy is, well, you should just... It's not going to hurt to make it as clean as the person with the highest standard wants it.
Yes, but why take the chance?
Well, and there's some logic to that that makes sense. But the problem is, the person with the lower standard of clean, they might never have that cognitive... I mean, you know what I'm saying? They're just not going to notice things. And they might never notice
also, it. Also, you're going to get pretty fucking resentful. Again, if you have a clean freak... And everything we do is based on... In our house,
so there has to
if
be
we have stuff where somebody is like, they would prefer X gets done once a week.
Yeah.
But it doesn't hit the point where they can't fucking take it anymore until like 3 weeks. And meanwhile, the other person, about every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Then usually that person is me. I do it every 2 weeks. Mm. And Trish would really love it if I would do more, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Because there are things like that. There are definite things in terms of cleaning and stuff like that. There's some stuff I do, some stuff she does. Some of it is based on random happenstance. Mm. Somebody did it the first time and just sort of... Some of it is based on talent. And some of it is based on, you know, what we can tolerate. And like the litter box is a great... The litter box is a tremendous example. I do a mediocre job with the litter box. That's all I'm going to say about that. A lot of people would be terribly scandalized, but it also gets done. You know, we're okay. I won't even tell you the specifics, but it happens. And I don't feel like ASPCA is going to show up or anything like that. Not a lot of random feces wandering around. Like, I do it. But to a lot of people, I go, really? No, that's all. One of those people was my wife, which I found really weird, because I'm like, I saw the litter box in your old apartment. So, so one time, she gets fed up enough that we're like, okay, we'll trade. I forget, I did some other job of hers, and she did that one for like a month. Mm-hmm. And afterwards, she was like, God, that sucks. That is awful. I hate that. I won't complain anymore. You go back to doing it, and you do it the way and the frequency you do it. And I'm like, okay. And that was years ago, and she hasn't complained since.
No problem since.
And it works out fine. And so there's some things like that. And I always feel like that's a really good answer. If you're like, it's not clean up. Okay, let's switch and see. And then, I think I talked about it with Trish, with the laundry. Trish used to do all the laundry. Partially because she thought I was bad at it. Which was sort of fair and sort of not. I don't know. I made a couple mistakes. But that's literally it. Like two or three times. Everybody's made two or three
laundry mistakes.
But so she was doing it all. But then that would be the problem. Because I... appreciate that, but I also would like my clothes washed within X amount of time, you know, because I only have this many clothes and I want to wear this. And sometimes she wouldn't manage that, and I'd be like, honey, can you? and sometimes I wouldn't be so nice, and sometimes she would take it. And finally, there were a couple times where shit just really blew up, and finally one day, I think she writes me an email, and she's like, because we had sort of a fight, and she's like, I think you should start doing your own laundry. And I'm like, that seems fair. And so now, we're married, we're happily married, we do separate laundry.
Yep.
And it's not, like, a hard and fast rule. Sometimes she's like, I only got, like, half a load. You got some shit you need to throw in here?
Yep.
But, and we do that now, and it works much better for us.
Yeah. And everyone, every pair or I don't know, however many people in your house,
yes.
everyone needs to figure this out. There's no rule. I mean, you know, you're not going to find some hard and fast rule that works for everybody. You're just going to have to, and it's probably going to be some organic, like
you're going to do some stuff and you're going to say that was the wrong answer.
Yeah. And there's going to be things that you always do. There's going to be things that you sometimes yes. do. There's going to be things that change over time or shift.
And
this is how it is.
Fuck the Seven Habits guy. There's going to be some compromise. There's going to be some stuff that for the assuming you're with that person forever, if you're lucky. That is always going to bug you a little bit.
Oh, yeah, sure.
But hopefully it's not going to bug you that much.
Yeah.
You know, and there are things like that now, and I'm sure as hell no, there are things like that. In fact, there are a few that I just never... There are a few that, like, they really drive me crazy because of the sort of arbitrary nature of... Like, there are a few very small, very simple things that Trish never does. And I always have to do, and it totally should not be that way. And if I stop and think about it, it's like, but they're tiny. I mean, that take 5 seconds out of my life. And so it's mostly just a, what the fuck? Why is this? How is it that this grown woman never does, like, but it's not a problem. Like, that's life. And you know what? In the beginning, it was a little bit annoying, and nowadays, it's not. And in fact, now it's funny to me. Like, my wife is incapable of doing X, Y, Z, you know?
And there are probably just as many things that go the other direction.
Oh, yeah, totally, totally.
So it all like, sort of equals out.
Well, and the classic one we always talk about is you have to deal with the fact that when you marry somebody, they are never going to load the dishwasher the right way. And sometimes the dishwasher is going to be loaded the wrong way, and you have to be okay with that.
Well, you know, what I always tell people, because sometimes, for whatever reason, people ask for my advice on things. I don't know why.
I don't either. I would never do that to
you. I know. But...
I care about you too much.
About, like, how do you know when it's the right one? Well, of course, I don't really believe in this whole right one business.
Me neither.
One thing I tell people is, are you going to be happy with this person if they never change?
Yep.
You really, that's, they're going to change. Yep. Don't get me wrong. They will change. But they're not necessarily going to change in any particular way you expect or want or anything else. So ask yourself if you would be happy if they never changed. And if yep. if your answer's no, you probably had better move on.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And that's something I wish I'd thought about.
With certain extreme exceptions. If somebody's battling addiction or something.
Okay, I suppose. But
yeah, but those are rare.
Yeah.
Those are rare. And also, you shouldn't go into it saying, yeah, I'll be with you and hope I'll change your addiction. No, that would be I will be with you if you quit your addiction.
But the reason that question is important is because there are some people who think they're going to change the person they're going to marry.
Oh, absolutely. It's classic.
But I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about the people who, like myself, for example, I didn't think I was going to change the person I was going to. I didn't want to change the person. I didn't care about that.
Yeah.
But what I didn't realize was that there were some expectations in the back of my mind that came just from, well, over time, this is
yes,
people mature.
You assumed yeah. they would change.
I'm not going to change this person, but life will change them.
Eventually, they'll get a clue.
Well, and I will too. We'll grow together. You know, that's what marriage is about. And
it absolutely is, but it's in such a random, unpredictable
yes.
way.
Well, and also, you might be on board for growing together with this person, but they might not be. And if you think about it the right way, you might realize, hey, this person is not marrying me because they want to grow together, us to grow together into our old age. They want to change
me. They want to change you, yeah.
Or some other thing. And if someone had asked me just to consider for a second, what if the way this person is right now is the way they always were? My first response at that time would have been, well, that doesn't make nobody is the same forever. That would have been my first response. And I would have said, no, this is what's going to happen. You know, yeah, she has this problem, that problem, but... especially like jealousy, you know, yeah, we just kind of started together or in the early stages of the relationship, people are jealous and then they get mm-hmm. over it. And if they said, okay, let's say you're right. And that everything you're saying is reasonable, William, because it was, but let's say it doesn't change.
Hypothetically.
Yeah. Just hypothetically. What would you do? Well, I couldn't be in a relationship like that. Okay. Well, so think about what you're about to do. Because there's a real possibility that might happen.
And this is a tricky thing. Because that does not necessarily apply to all relationships of all types. there are a lot of friendships, work relationships, professional relationships, business relationships, where you have to do the whole, well, it's weird now, but over time, you know, things can change. But when you're talking about your partner, when you're talking about your spouse, when you're talking about your life, no, you can't.
No, no.
Because it's too much of a commitment. Because if I have to stop hanging out with that dude that I game with, it's not nearly as big a deal as I have to divorce this person.
Yeah. Huge.
Or even to the degree, although it does, the more important it is, the more you do have to pay attention to that. But even to the degree of, I won't be able to work here.
Yeah.
You know, that's still pretty big. I would still try and pay attention there. But yeah, with the life, which is so funny when people ask me, you know, how you know, I'm like, I don't know. I don't remember how. I don't remember. I mean, I can tell you things I noticed, but they were always after the fact. And the main one that always amazed me is I had never stopped considering the next person I would be with her once we broke up. Every relationship I was in, my next girlfriend.
You've said this.
And it stopped with Trish. I didn't notice when it happened. I noticed much later. I'm like, it's been that way for a while.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that was a big...
Well, for me, and the person I'm with, I've been with for, you know, 17 years. It was, you know, there was no moment or anything. I mean, I don't know. I don't even really understand completely what people talk about when they talk about the one or knowing if it's the one or whatever. With us, it was more of a, hey, this is what I want to do with my life in a general sense, not like specific goals and objectives, but this is the kind of person I want to become. This is the trajectory of growth, if you will. Spiritual, whatever, that I'm on. Oh, yeah, me too. I mean, you know, they kind of go together. Well, let's help each other out, basically. Yeah. And so there it is. I mean, it's very, very simple.
And, you know, and this gets a little boring and cliche, and also correct me if I'm wrong, but you guys started as friends.
That's right.
That's how it works.
Well, and that's, we started as friends, and even as friends, we were kind of on that path already, just as friends. So yeah, I mean, it's just a very we're quite literally partners in life.
Yeah.
It's very simply that, and it's, you know, it wasn't a lightning out of a bolt out of the blue or, you know, any of this weird stuff that people talk about. It's just, you know, I'm living a life, she's living a life. Human beings are social; they always have tribes or groups that they are in, and that tribe or group is always structured around a shared goal, not so much a goal, shared purpose or whatever.
And it, ladies and gentlemen, deleted monologue from Jerry Maguire.
The point is, we just let happen what happens between human beings, and we share a life. It's really that simple.
And Renee Zellweger says, you had me at humans are social creatures.
So here's the thing, though. Why?
Come on, that was good.
No. Why do people make it more complicated than that? Because
romance is a business and romance is a media genre, and everything we see. I have finally hit the postmodern version of it where I was like, nothing I see in romance, in songs, in movies, in book, anything, bears any resemblance to the love I have found and how that worked out. And now I've gone to the other side where I totally view it as a completely separate fictitious thing that I totally appreciate. I just can, it's like a fantasy genre.
Oh yeah, it's like well, oh, look at this, look in Dresden Files how they handle magic. It's like that.
Exactly.
Oh, look how they handle.
And Mindy Kaling did an interview one time where she said rom-coms are basically my sci-fi.
Yeah.
And it's the same sort of thing. And so I really appreciate it. And like songs on the radio, I'm like, oh, this is so heartfelt. And if I stop, I'm like, based on, well, the thing we were watching just before. Like, never dated, never had a conversation, got married.
Well, see, for me, my whole life, as far back as I can remember, anything that other people said, oh, this is romance, this is love, this is the basis for marriage and all this stuff, I never understood it because it didn't look like it that to me. It didn't look like a partnership. It didn't look like something two people were joining together and doing sort of for the long term. And it, sometimes it didn't even, like, as a sociologist...
You don't even seem to like each other.
As a sociologist, I understand the amorous relationship to be something that's very playful. And a lot of times I didn't even see that playfulness. Passion, maybe, but not a lot of playfulness. And the playfulness is something that, first of all, I don't feel like it really has to be there for there to be a good, solid, long-term marriage kind of relationship, but it can be, and there's no reason that it shouldn't
be.
And in the ones that work, it is there. So,
well, and that's the thing, is it's unique, and that's why having a romance genre is kind of silly, because even if there are people out there who that's their romance and they found their love of their life that way, it's not going to be true for everybody, or even true for most people.
No, it's coincidental that it came about that way.
Everybody's probably is different, and I have to keep reminding myself, because I judge the fuck out of other people's marriages, because I feel like my marriage is awesome, and so anytime people are doing stuff different, but I have to, well, first of all, a lot of people do it wrong, straight up.
Oh, well, but, sure. I mean, this is my second time around.
And so, I'm also fine with the idea of if you, well, let's do the whole trophy spouse thing, you know, if you are someone who is young and attractive and you find somebody who is older and wealthy and you guys decide you want this arrangement and everybody's okay with it,
whatever,
that's fine.
Yep.
And I'm even fine with you calling that love if you want to.
Sure, whatever. Yep, I
agree. Doesn't resemble anything I would be.
No, agreed.
That's fine. But that's, it's everybody else's damn business. Like, you can't tell people how romance works.
No.
First of all, a lot of people do it, and it's like, that's not true for, like, any... Like, there are some out there that I'm just like, that is fucked up. But for the most part, it's just what is work for you. And that's why I would say you can't judge other people's marriages. Yeah. I say that, and then I judge other people's marriages all the time. It's a fun thing I do. We're over time, and I'm...
Oh, I'm sorry.
Warm. I want to turn the AC back on. So, would you all do us a favor and write the hat, the magical talking hat at gmail.com. Do that. Because we would like that. And new Google Kapow.
I think that's what it was.
All right, good. You're going to let me know what's going on with your thing.
Well, I think what I'll do is... If Wednesday, next Wednesday, it's going to be yesterday for you guys who are listening, rolls around and everything is fine, I'm like home in the afternoon or even in the evening, I'll maybe, what would I do?
Post on the blog, or tell me and I can make a post and I could put something on Facebook.
I guess I would just, I'd post on it the next day, because no one's even going to know about it until this is, so yeah, I'll wait till Thursday and maybe I'll put a comment and say, hey, everybody, that everything went okay.
And I can put something in the show notes for this, although I'm probably going to write the show notes tonight.
Yeah, because I'm going to
add something.
I'm definitely going to tell you immediately.
Yeah,
so.
All right, so we'll let you know. But also, don't worry, it's going
to
be fine.
Yeah, not to worry.
And also, if something terrible happens, I will let you know also, because
they'll probably already know, because, like you said.
The fire, they'll see it from their houses.
Okay, whatever.
He'll be haunting them.
I don't know.
Oh, you'll know, because... you'll be visited by three spirits that night. The ghost of podcast past, the ghost of podcast present, which would just be this episode.
Yeah.
And Lance Bass, formerly from NSYNC, who's still alive. I don't really understand.
The ghost of podcast future is going to take us to Waterworld, because how we destroyed the environment with our...
And there are no dogs or cats left at all. Ezzy, get in the fire.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat @gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.